everyone, and welcome to another episode of the official Nintendo Fever podcast. This is episode 11. It's been a while since we last talked to you, because we missed a week. Anyway, my name is Holly Felmuth. I'm your host for tonight, and I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Desend.
Hello, hello. It's been too long, Holly.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny how 1 week... I mean, it was nice to have a break, but it's funny how 1 week can seem like forever.
It did feel... It felt like a very long time since I was able to talk about Nintendo in such a geeky way. Like, at work, I tried to talk to somebody about it, and they got to the point where I was talking, and all they were doing was nodding their head and saying, uh-huh, oh, really? And I felt like I was speaking to, like, a parent or somebody who just didn't understand what I was talking about.
I also get that a lot, so it is really good to be back, and we're sorry to our listeners for skipping a week. But we're back with an extra special episode in episode 11. We'll be talking today about what we've been playing. We've got a little special game to talk about there, and then we will have our feature. We're going to be talking about ideas for Nintendo theme park rides, and we'll explain why we are doing that, in case you haven't heard, which I'm sure you have, when we get to that point. But first, I actually wanted to start out with a listener comment. Our last episode, episode 10, we posed the question. What was the question, Matt? You were the one who posed it, so.
Yes, the question that I posed on episode 10 2 weeks ago would have definitely had to have been, I don't fully remember. It's like on the tip of my tongue. It had to deal with DLC, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't remember the specifics for some reason. But it was the question, like, do you prefer, like, a fully featured game, like, right off the bat, or do you, like the idea? Or, actually, I think the question was more along the lines of, like, Mario Kart 8, for example, do you enjoy this DLC approach that Nintendo is taking, or would you, have preferred a sequel?
Yeah, it was either, do you like the downloading idea platform for extra content, or would you prefer a full-fledged sequel? That was definitely the question. And we got a comment from Rose F. Death about this, and he says, I would have to say it all depends on the game. Some games should come out as pieces. Mario Kart 8 is an awesome way to prevent people selling their games back to retailers. But games like Zelda, Mario, and others like that should come out as full-fledged games. So, I agree that Mario Kart's DLC strategy was 110%, hey, don't sell the game, we have more content coming. And I think that it's a valid way to make people not want to sell their games. Here's something that I would like to ask you, Holly. Do you sell your games when you're done with them or you're bored with them or for whatever reason? Do you sell your games?
I do not in general. I really think about it. Like, I actually kind of want to sell, and I got the collector's edition and everything for Bravely Default, but I've been considering selling, like, that entire thing. Maybe if I wait enough time, it'll actually be really, I could sell it for more, possibly, just because it is the collector's edition, I don't know, but that's one I've been thinking about a lot, just because the end of it was so bad, and I just don't think I'll ever go back and play that, but in general, I don't just, like, go, you know, jump the gun and sell games. I really think about it, like, because you just never know when you're suddenly going to think, like, oh, I want to go back to that, so.
So, here's what I, as a young lad, back in the day, I used to buy and sell games all the time. And I used to, like, get, like, these massive collections of, like, PlayStation games, Xbox games, GameCube games, these big, big collections. And then, basically, I would just go and sell all of them so that I could go and get new games. Now, that was before I had a job and I had money and all those, you know, different things happening in my life. But as I've gotten older, I don't want to sell any video game ever again. I want to have this giant collection of games. One, to say, like, these are the games that I played, you know, and that I beat, or these are the games that I bought and that are in my collection, you know, all those reasons. But I really feel like there needs to be a shift in the idea that we buy games and then we sell games to get the new game. You know, and Nintendo games have always been very collectible because the people that like to buy Nintendo games are usually pretty, I don't know, very dedicated to that platform and that system, and they like to keep having their games for that system. You know, I feel like this has really become a problem over the last little while when it comes to, you know, like the annualization of games, right? That's the things that are really in those bigger problem parts of this. You know, they need to have a season pass because they need to keep it. They need the people to keep playing it all the way until it's time to release the next one. You know, Call of Duty, Madden, you know, even Assassin's Creed has gotten to that point. You know, there's become this really interesting notion of games that they're kind of disposable forms of entertainment, right? We spend $60, we play it, when we're done with it, we toss it to the side, and we get the $30 that, or $20, you know, that GameStop will give us. Or we try to sell it ourselves for $40 or $50, right? Which is kind of an interesting thing, instead of saying like, oh, this is mine, and I'm gonna continue to keep it, and I'm gonna put it on my shelf, you know, like a nice book, or whatever the case may be. Now, with all that said, I do think that Mario Kart did their two packs of DLC like they did, and I think that it was absolutely a great idea. I think that it was a huge benefit for us, and I do think that some games benefit from it. Mario Kart 8 definitely benefited from this whole DLC idea, but I don't want to see Mario Kart 8 get another two packs and another two packs and another two packs. Eventually, I want them to take a step back from Mario Kart 8, and I want them to give me Mario Kart 9 eventually. What about you, Holly? Do you like this whole download structure for DLC, where it comes, you know, every 6 months you're getting, you know, 8 new tracks of Mario Kart, you know, DLC? Like, at some point, I almost feel like it won't be exciting anymore, and it will just become, it will almost be like buying the game every single time.
That is a good point. But I, you know, I'd be happy if every 6 months we did get a new pack of DLC. I've been kind of thinking to myself, like, any day now Nintendo's going to announce another pack. I don't know what they're, you know, if they're going to announce a pack 3, but I'd love it. So I'm a little bit different on that score.
If they did, it would definitely be at E3 where they talk about something like that. And I'm not going to say I wouldn't be surprised if they did do it, because if for some reason they did do, because when they announced, you know, 1 and 2, the first two packs, they did it very like, oh, we got two packs coming, and they showed off, I think, what did they show off? All they showed off was, this is the Zelda-themed base one, and this is the Animal Crossing-themed base one.
I think they just showed, like, a little screenshot with Link on a bike, and that was it, and to announce the first one.
I could definitely see them doing something at E3. You know, these are the next two downloadable packs, and it has a picture of, I don't know, just to make all the fan people angry, this is the F-Zero fan pack, and this is the Trauma Center theme pack. I don't know.
Throw out Pokemon.
That'd be a good one. Pokemon would be a very good one, actually. I could see them doing that. Who doesn't want to see Pikachu on a motorcycle?
I'm trying to think if we ever saw Pikachu on a motorcycle in some form or another on Smash Bros., but I don't think so. Speaking of DLC done right, though, there's this game coming out in a couple weeks here called Splatoon, and we're gonna talk about Splatoon in the What We've Been Playing section today, but first I actually kind of want to mention that Splatoon comes out May 29th, and throughout the summer, Nintendo plans to release free DLC. Free maps. Yeah. So the game will come out with 5 maps automatically. Throughout the summer, 5 more will be released for free. And then there will be new weapons and new equipment and gear and things like that will also come out as free DLC, as well as a brand new weapon type, like this paintbrush-looking weapon that we haven't really seen much of yet. But as far as actually playing Splatoon goes, Matt, I didn't even think to ask you this question before the show, but you did get a chance to play the worldwide, the global test fire event for Splatoon, right?
I got to play one of the global test fire events.
Out of three.
Yeah, Friday night I was off work, and I told my wife, I said, you take those kids and you make them go to bed, because I'm going to play this game, and nothing is going to stop me. And then Saturday for the afternoon one, or the early morning one, I could have played, but I risked going into work late, so I decided not to chance it. And then the afternoon one, I was at work at that time. So I did get to play it for 1 hour, and what a glorious hour it was.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed myself. I decided to start with one weapon and just kind of master that for the first hour. So I started with the splatter shot, and I did not stray from that splatter shot for the entire first hour.
You're crazy.
Okay, so your strategy was different.
Oh, yeah.
So you tried all the weapons.
I played one match, quit, new weapon, one match, quit, new weapon, one. You got to try them all until you get to the tidal wave brush, and then it's all over.
The tidal wave brush.
The tidal wave roller, I guess, would be the best way to say it.
Oh, I was like, what is... Oh, tidal wave. Yeah, that must be the roller. That was a favorite weapon of people's, I think.
And it got to the point where, with an hour of playtime, you can't really perfect anything. So that was like a really easy one for anyone to grab and just literally paint the entire place. I was in one match where it was three rollers against three rollers, and then me on my team had one of the guns, and then somebody on the other team had one of the guns, and me and him basically just watched everything happen. I swear, like, we would run into each other, look at each other, and almost feel like, well, there's nothing we can do. Let's just keep going.
I did not feel that way at all. I felt like I had a pretty good strategy, especially when I used the splatter shot alone. I had a pretty dang good strategy for taking out the people with the rollers. And also, during my second hour, I played Saturday afternoon as well. It was 1 p.m. Mountain Time, the afternoon one. The morning one on Saturday morning was like 5 a.m. Mountain Time, and both Matt and I are in Mountain Time, so it was pretty early for us.
Yes,
and I tried so hard to get up for that one. Couldn't do it.
I woke up and I was like ready, and I was getting ready to turn everything on, but like I have to be to work at about at basically 10 to 6. So I usually try to leave to go to work about 5:30. So like I could have played for 30 minutes, but then I would have been like risking, like, I don't know, I'm going to like get so distracted with the game that I'm going to forget to look at my watch, and then I'm going to be late for work, and I can't do that, sadly, but oh, did I want to so badly.
That was very sensible of you, because that's the type of game it is. It is very distracting, and
that
those 2 hours
went by
that I
so
played.
Fast.
Yeah, so fast. I kept like looking at the clock thinking, oh my gosh, it's like, you know, the first night, well, it was like 9 to 10 for us.
9 to 10.
You know, it's like 9:30. I was like, oh my gosh, I only have another half an hour. And then before I know it, it's like 9:55, and I'm all like, just a couple more matches, just a couple more, please.
I'll have to say, like, Nintendo is both evil geniuses and so smart for only making it 1 hour, I think. Like, I know there's a lot of flack for it, and I can understand why there'd be a lot of flack for it. Like, but at the same time, like, that builds up so much more hype, and I think it worked universally well. I didn't really see a lot of people complaining, like, in the sense of, like, oh, man, Nintendo is an idiot for doing this. Like, I didn't see a lot of that kind of comments. I saw more comments like, oh, my goodness, this is so good.
Yeah, and I can't wait to play the full version. I saw that, you know, probably half a dozen times, or half a million, probably, times I saw that comment. Like, I just want the full version already, and I feel the exact same way. Don't worry, guys, you're not alone.
I do, too, and the worst part is, on the 29th when it comes out, I have to work that Thursday before, the Friday of, the Saturday of, I have Sunday off, and then I have to work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of that next week.
Oh.
So I'm not going to actually have, like, sit down and play time until the following Thursday of the 4th of June. Like, I'm so annoyed at that. I'm this close, Holly. I have 3 days of vacation. I'm this close to taking those 3 days of vacation for this game.
I know some people, I already know some people who are planning that, so why not? My question is, kind of on that subject, like, some people may not be able to play it as much as they want right off the bat, so they're going to get kind of behind other people skill-wise. So my hope for this game, and I, so far, you know, there's no telling, but my hope is that there will be some kind of matchmaking going on. It would really suck for people who, you know, play the single player and think, oh, this is fun, I want to play it online, and then they end up doing horribly online and just getting, you know, creamed every single time.
There's usually pretty
decent. It's not very enjoyable.
There's usually pretty decent matchmaking in Nintendo games, even when it comes to, you know, like, there's not going to be any custom matches. There's not going to be any, like, party matches where you get to actually choose your friends right off the bat, which is a big disappointment. The fact that, like, I can't partner up with you, Holly, from day one and go out and fight people, like, that's a little annoying. I mean,
you could just choose to be on your friend's team a lot and become an unstoppable team, and I almost feel like that would make it slightly unfair.
But that's
so
the
I kind of get
is
it.
Is it supposed to be friend team versus friend team? That's the idea of those matches, though. Like, I don't.
Yeah, later on in the summer when that mode actually is released
for that
us.
That should be, and we should be able to have the Game Gravy crew versus the Nintendo Fever crew. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like. But we can't do that yet. And I have to literally, me and you, we should call each other and be like, okay, I'm going to get on right now. And then we're going to see if we might randomly appear on each other's team. Because there's no way to do it. And that's a big disappointment.
It was kind of that way to me as well. Staff writer Mike McSurdy and I, we play Monster Hunter together a lot. And we make a pretty dang good team. And we really like doing that together. So, you know, maybe a few weeks ago, I texted him and I was like, you and me on Splatoon, unstoppable team, just because we work so well together. And now it turns out that, like, we can't really choose to be on each other's team when we play online.
And this is not going to be, like, an update that happens within, like, the first week or something. Like, this is... Isn't it supposed to be...
I think it's coming at the end of the summer or something August. Like that. Like yeah, that sounds right.
The end of summer, when people are no longer playing for long stretches of time because they have school now. Like, it's just very... Here's the worst part, is it's either they delay the release of certain features or they delay the release of the game. And as much as, like, I hate to see a non-full-fledged feature or, you know, package, especially from Nintendo, that's the worst part, is, like, you see this from Microsoft, you see this from Sony, but to see it from Nintendo is kind of a dismayer, where it's like, I guess it happens to everybody. You know, like, even these amazing developers at Nintendo that have always been able to put out some of the best individualized, you know, video games. Look at, it started with Smash Brothers. We're still waiting for tournament mode. Still waiting!
Yeah, that's one that, like, you know, Mewtwo DLC, that's great, and then the Lucas DLC, that's great, but I want tournament mode more than any of those things.
Miiverse
stage?
Silly
Nintendo. Yeah, I'm really excited for that one.
We're
still
missing
have it.
Components that they announced before the game came out, and I'm very worried that we're going to get things like that to happen to Splatoon as well. But
yeah.
All those negative things aside, the game's awesome, and we should talk
absolutely.
A little bit in case... In case one of you, dear listeners, were unable to play it and you've only, you know, seen, you know, the videos of it and stuff, it plays so smooth. Like, I don't know about you, but I was a little hesitant about the whole changing into a squid thing. I was worried.
Oh, yeah, me too. I was really worried that would be, like, really complex and you'd be fumbling with your controller.
I thought it was going to be, like, a button push where you had to, like, click it and then click it when you wanted to get out of it. Like, all these different things. It is so seamless and smooth. The only way that I can, like, really say how well it works is if you've ever played Assassin's Creed and you hold down the run button and you automatically do the parkour moves, it feels as smooth as that, but you never accidentally get hooked on a wall that you didn't mean to go on.
Yeah, it's a really nice mechanic. Okay, one thing I really loved about the game was just how you watch the gameplay footage and stuff like that, and I've seen tons of it since last year's E3 when it was announced, of course. But, you know, the game was just like, okay, yeah, it looks good. I'm going to get it. I'm going to play it, until I actually got to play it. And now I'm like, this is amazing. I mean, when you hit somebody with that roller, when you run them over.
And they explode?
Splash them with a splatter shot. It is like one of the most satisfying feelings that you'll ever get playing a video game. Trust me, you guys. It's great.
It is absolutely fantastic. And then the game runs so silky smooth online. You know, it was exciting to play the game online, but I am excited for the single-player component, even if it's not like this amazing story mode, but just to kind of hone the skills. What did you think of the gyro scope controls?
I did use motion controls the whole time.
I didn't know you could turn them off until it was too late and I didn't have a chance to try it with just using a dual shooter mode.
I actually didn't mind it. It was a little, you know, even by the time I was done with the 2 hours that I got to play, I still felt like the motion controls were a little clumsy, but I feel like once you get used to them, they can potentially be like probably the most concise way, or sorry, concise. What's the word? Precise.
Precise. Yeah.
Precise way of playing and aiming. So
here's the nice
just
thing.
Just got practice.
Here's the nice thing about Splatoon, and I think this is why they work, is because you're not actually trying to shoot people. I mean, you can. That is one element of the game. But the majority of the game is literally trying to shoot the ground. That's what you're trying to do. And because of that, you can very easily spin your character using the right analog stick. And then you can look around while moving the controller with the gyroscope. And you don't need to be precise, though. That's the nice thing about it, is you don't have to be absolutely perfect on your aiming. And that's why I think the gyroscope works. Because this game... Did you ever play Unreal Tournament or Quake?
Never heard of either of them.
Well, don't admit that in public, Holly. Those are... Well, I mean, you're probably not a first-person shooter fan, I'm guessing.
Nope. I played Metroid Prime, beat it. Played like 10 hours of Prime 2. Didn't beat it yet, but that's about my experience.
Those are first-person adventures, yes. Very different. So my point
is...
Yeah,
that is true.
This game is kind of like a Twitch shooter, which is surprising. I did not expect that. I didn't know... You know, I didn't think that was going to happen, but it is kind of like a Twitch shooter because it doesn't take too many shots until you explode. I mean, you have to be pretty quick on the draw. If someone's shooting at you, you either need to get out of there or you need to kill them before they kill you, you know? And this game is kind of like a Twitch shooter in that regard, which is, it was just very surprising to me. I didn't expect it to be quite so, I don't know. It's very chaotic and it's very hectic and it's so very fast. You know, 3 minutes goes by in the blink of an eye. I wish they were longer matches, but I wonder if they're longer, if it would almost feel, I don't know, maybe too long at that point. I don't know.
I think it would, actually. It's surprising, though. One, I was actually a little worried that it'd be too hectic when I saw gameplay footage and things like that. And I thought, like, well, it seems like other shooters, like, take a little bit more thought and strategy. And maybe they do, but at the same time, Splatoon does take a lot of thought and strategy. Plus, you've got the reflex aspect. So it's actually a really great balance.
Did you ever, at one point, think, like, oh, man, my team's totally doing a good job. And then you look down at your gamepad and you notice that the entire map is the other team's color?
That did happen. Not very frequently, though. I felt like I'd played really well.
I was on very good teams multiple times, which was pretty, you know, nice for my benefit. But at the same time, like, there was a couple times where, like, I look down and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, the entire thing's over with. So I would look and figure out which one of the spots nobody was in. And that's where I'd go run and start inking everywhere. And there was one match, and I kid you not, we won 51.0 to 49.9%.
Okay. So, wow. So 0.1?
We literally won by 0.1 percent? On one of my matches. Yeah.
Oh, geez, that kind of puts to shame my 0.2 difference in one of my matches. But at the same time, yeah, 0.1 or 0.2, that's, like, insane.
Could you imagine being the other team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, when I got my 0.2 difference, I was on the losing team. I was like, you guys, seriously? 0.2. 0.2, man.
I felt like I was the person that got that extra 0.1, though, because I'm the one that, like, went off to, like, this area that there was nobody at. And I just started spraying everywhere, and it was literally like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then it ended, and we won by 0.1. I was like, no way.
Yeah, if you're covering up the other team's ink with your ink, you're taking away from their ink and adding to yours at the same time, so that's a very effective thing to do.
I'm watching the Splatoon Direct right now while we're talking about this. I am just so excited for this game. It looks so... It is so much fun. It's better than what I expected, honestly. And the more I look at this game, like, I hate to say it because I think that sometimes as Nintendo fans, we do this with a lot of, like, first party IPs. But to me, this feels like a very important IP and it feels like a very important game for Nintendo. And I'm really hoping that the Nintendo fan base sees that, you know, I worry
the old ones who kind of went away from Nintendo. For various reasons, it's like Nintendo, you know, they have been rehashing the same franchises again and again and again. But this is a brand new one. This is like monumental
even
in the gaming world right now.
Even the 5 million people that bought Mario Kart. Like, where are those 5 million Wii U owners? Because if there's I think 10 to 12 million Wii Us in the world right now. So if half of the Wii U owners own Mario Kart 8, this game is the next game they should also be buying. This game has the potential to sell one to 3 million copies. And if it doesn't sell at least a million, then I don't know what to think. It's sad because they put a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it does stink that there are these small problems where it's like, well, you're not getting the whole game right away, and you're not getting this right away. And
free DLC, though. People have to realize that.
Is it free DLC when it's something that probably should have been included to begin with?
That is true. But, you know, there are those games, we've talked about this before, but there are those other games that other companies make that they come out and on day one, they've already got DLC that you have to pay for. At the very least, Nintendo is making it free. So I think that's a very, very good thing that they're doing.
I do too.
Hope people take notice of it.
I do too. I think that it's a good thing that it's all free so far. And I do think that there will be paid DLC down the line, but it will be after all the free DLC comes out. But at the same time, it is one of those cases where, like, when Mario Kart 8 came out, it was a complete game. There was no hiding any of the blemishes with, like, oh, we're going to have a day one update. Or, hey, we're not going to have battle mode, even though it would have been better without battle mode. But, you know, we're not going to have battle mode until 2 weeks at later. Like, it was a complete game that you purchased. And sadly, Splatoon is not a complete game when you purchase it. You have to wait and download that later on.
Yeah. It is kind of a shame in that respect, but I'm still very happy that it's all going to be free for the summer. So.
I agree. I'm super happy, super excited, and I think me and you, Holly, we could do an entire hour on Splatoon. Even this really...
Yes, we could.
You played 2 hours of it. I played 1 hour, and we could talk hours about this game. It's so good. It's so much fun. It plays so smooth. And, I mean, we're just waiting. And it sucks and it stinks to be waiting like we are, but we are. But I think we better move on to our next topic. Otherwise, we will literally not stop talking about this.
I totally agree. This actually, I mean, the fact that we just spent like a good, what, like 20 minutes or more talking about Splatoon makes me think maybe when the game is released, we can have a whole episode dedicated to talking about the game.
Oh, yeah. I think that's all we'll do for the next 3 weeks afterwards.
Possibly. So listeners, let us know if you would like that or if you think like, oh, I don't think I want that. Please let us know. We only want to please you guys. That's what we're out to do. So we'll let you know how you can let us know those things at the end of the podcast. But for now, we will be moving on to our theme or our feature for today, Nintendo theme park rides. In case you guys didn't know, and I really hope you know by now because you're Nintendo fans, you should know this. Nintendo is teaming up with Universal Studios basically to bring Nintendo themed attractions to parks like the one in Florida, Orlando, Florida, and Osaka, Japan, I think is where the other big one is. So those theme parks, you know. So Nintendo rides, basically. So the idea of this is to kind of give you some thoughts that Matt and I may have of what kinds of rides Nintendo could pull out of their hat. This is probably, hopefully, in fact, going to pull out a creative side of me that no one has ever known. So
before we talk about the actual ideas that we have for rides, I'd like to first say that I think that the reason why Nintendo is partnering up with Universal Studios is because it's about IP care and trying to take care of their characters to a different extent, where they want to make their Mario as popular as Iron Man. You know, Iron Man has become this like face of the Marvel Studios. You know, same with like Captain America and all those other characters. But like people, little kids want to be Iron Man for Halloween. They want Iron Man stuff for Christmas, and part of that is in reason with the movies, but they're also huge figures now at Disney and Disney World and Disneyland. Like, those things are being shoved into kids' faces. And even though Universal Studios, to my you know, knowledge, is not as price successful as Disneyland and stuff like that, I do think this is a really good step to take to say, hey, Mario is also that super awesome, super cool thing, and we're just going to show you all the stuff we can about Mario.
Yeah, I mean, one possibility, although I think this is like, I don't know, this wouldn't have happened, and I'm kind of glad it didn't, but one thing Nintendo might have been able to do was create a whole Nintendo theme park. I just think that would have been taking it, yeah, way too far.
Way too much of their own expenses would have been spent for something like that. And to partner up with somebody that has the base both in Japan, which is, let's be honest, this is probably more of a Japan, it's definitely a Western want as well. But I think that Japan has such a bigger heritage with Nintendo that this kind of thing is like, well, not only can we get America, but we can also get Japan in the same deal. And I think that's a pretty important part of it.
Yeah, yeah. There's those two. I think those are the two most well-known Universal Studios in the world, the one in Florida and the one in Japan. So what kinds of rides? Do you have any thoughts like right off the bat for like what kinds of rides that you might want to see?
Idea number one is a roller coaster. I know, surprise, surprise.
Wow.
Based on Donkey Kong's minecarts.
Minecarts, wow. Not a bad idea.
Here's my idea. I actually thought about this while we've been talking. You get in a minecart for your, you know, for your roller coaster, and then they use projected CG on the walls while you're going through the ride, and they have spots on the ride, you're like in a dark area. They have spots on the ride where it looks like there's no track there. And then when you go off of it, they make the cart just jilt a little bit. I don't even know if that's like safe at all, but they make it jilt to make it feel like as though you jumped, but you haven't actually left the track in any way. But it looks like there's no track. It feels like you jolt, and then it looks like you land on another piece of track.
Okay. That would be a little bit risky. Jilting on roller coasters is kind of a tricky business. Don't know if you've ever heard of Lagoon. It's like Farmington, Utah.
It's right out of I don't know. Lagoon is in Utah.
It's in Utah.
If anyone wants to know, use your Google.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the kind of the closest theme park, probably to both Matt and I, and we've both apparently been there. There's a ride, though, called the Crazy Mouse. Don't know if you've tried it, but...
Oh, yeah, I love Crazy Mouse.
Yeah, when you get onto the top, it kind of turns really abruptly, It has, like, several turns that, like, I mean, they just jerk you. The G-force is insane. You look at the ride, I mean, you're in the ride, and it feels really jerky. And then you watch somebody on the ride later, like, from the ground, and it looks like it's going so slow. It's like, how on earth did all that G-force created on those tiny little, like, turns, and with that slow speed that it seems to be going? So, that kind of is what I thought about when you mentioned the roller coaster jilting thing. But so that was idea number one. You have more, I'm guessing.
I just thought of another idea. This is less of a ride and more of a attraction inside of the gift shop. Now, when you walk into the gift shop, you see all the amiibo staring at you, but all the amiibo you want are behind a glass case that says you cannot have. And then there's lots of Mario, Peaches, and Pikachus that you can buy at your want.
Sounds like something that could very well be a thing.
Yeah, but the whole point is that you ask for, like, oh, could I get an Ike? And then someone laughs at you. Like, that's the attraction.
Oh,
could I get a gold Mario? Ha 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 ha.
Well, actually, Nintendo kind of released, that's another bit of news that came out this week. Nintendo has kind of talked about how they plan to restock some rare amiibo.
I'll believe it when I see it come back. I'll believe it.
Yeah, then. I know. I still have, like, this shred of hope where I'm like, Nintendo, please make it happen. Make it work.
I got my Ike.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. You traded for a gold Mario,
I did.
Right?
That's I did. What I heard. And it all worked out. It all worked out. So
sweet. That's great. Well, my idea, this one's definitely more serious, is for just basically like a replica of Baby Park.
Oh.
From Mario Kart 8. So you'd have go-karting, but you'd also have, like, there's that
carts?
Ship. Oh, a bumper carts would not be bad. It'd be like battle mode.
Uh-huh.
More like battle mode than anything else. But go-karts would be just as... In fact, I think go-karts might be funner. Bumper cars aren't that fun, honestly.
You're crazy.
But, so a go-kart track plus even like that. I mean, in Mario Kart 8, I did not play much of Double Dash, so I'm not sure exactly what Baby Park looked like in Double Dash.
It looked basically the same thing. It was different because obviously you're not doing the anti-grav, and that's a pretty big part of this one. But it's very, very similar.
Okay, so you've got like kind of the stuff on the outside. Like there's a roller coaster going through it. So yeah, I just think replicating that entire thing would just be amazing.
That would be a good idea. That'd be a pretty... That seems like a doable one. Like, mine seems so far... Like, well, obviously the amiibo was kind of a joke, but like, the Donkey Kong barrel, you know, minecart thing seems maybe a little bit hazardous, but I feel like this idea with go-karts or bumper carts would be a good idea.
So, we are going to... Let's do this. Let's make this a thing. This week, you guys have to vote between bumper cars and go-karts.
Okay, I like this.
That's our thing.
Yes.
That's our thing for this week.
What do you prefer to do more? If you see two lines of equal waiting time, that's the important part, is you don't have to wait any longer for one or the other. You're both going to be waiting for 5 minutes. Do you get in the line to do bumper carts, or do you get in the line to do go-karts?
All right, so there's our vote for this week. So any other ideas? Again, I'm not like an overly creative person, so I don't have a whole lot of other ideas, honestly.
I'm trying to think of a fun way to do Mario.
Mario.
With an open type of adventure feel to it. I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people think of rides and they're pretty... I mean, you could do like, what's that one ride where it shoots you straight up into the sky and then you slowly descend? What's that called?
I'm not sure if there's an official name for it.
What do
they call
it?
The one at Lagoon is called the Rocket.
The Rocket. So, you know, it's one of those rides where you sit down, you hear a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and then it shoots you into the sky on this rail type system, and then you slowly fall back down, and then you get shot back up and you fall back down. You could very easily call that like Oldemar's ship.
Ah, yes.
And make it just look like the ship from Pikmin. That would be an idea.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, different Nintendo IPs. Give me a Nintendo IP, and I'm going to try to come up with something.
Zelda's a big one,
okay,
obviously. So.
Zelda's a big one. It's an adventure one. There's sword fighting.
Spirit Tracks.
Archery. Spirit Tracks would be a really easy. That could even be a little kid's roller coaster.
Yeah, except that series doesn't necessarily appeal to tiny kids. So.
True, but people that are going to Universal are going to have all sorts of different, you know, ages and sizes. And you see, like, think of me and my daughter, she's 8 years old. we're going in there and we look around at all the different roller coasters and all the different rides. And all of a sudden I look and I see, oh, look at that. It's the Spirit Tracks roller coaster, Lily. You go and try that one. It would be a very easy sell for me to tell my child to go and ride it.
And they don't necessarily need to like Zelda, so that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to think of others. Metroid.
That's what I thought about, too. Metroid Prime.
Something to do with Samus's ship or something. I don't
know. Gravitron.
That's the name of Samus's ship?
No. Have you ever heard of a ride called the Gravitron?
Oh, no, I haven't.
You get into a spaceship, and it spins around in circles, and the G-Force makes you stick to the wall.
Oh.
You could make it look like Samus's ship and just call it Samus's ship, and you get in it, and then you stand against the wall, you know, straight up, and then all of a sudden the ship spins so quickly that you can actually start crawling around where you're standing, and you won't fall off of it because of the G-force will keep you stuck to your seat.
Wow. Sounds dangerous and scary.
Very fun. Very, very fun, and actually one of the least scary rides because you're enclosed in this area and you don't actually see anything really spinning around.
Okay, doesn't sound too bad. I'd give it a shot.
Oh,
go on a little faith there.
Go and check out the you know, just look it up online, Gravitron, and I guarantee you'll probably get a good kick out
of it. So there's also Star Fox, kind of a couple of possibilities there, just things that have to do with the R-Wing, probably such a distinctive ship. So,
well, you could do one of those like space adventures where you sit down in a cockpit of kinds with like eight people, and you look like you're going on like an adventure. It's like a virtual roller coaster, basically. Have you seen those?
I think so. They usually are just in this like van looking mm-hmm. thing, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been on one of those. Not overly scary, but that's okay. It was still fun.
Yeah. Jeez. And then there's just, I mean, all these things are pretty easy to, like, put in a roller coaster because you just kind of theme the roller coaster, right?
So yeah,
basically.
So it's
pretty easy in that regard.
So, when I think of, like, other types of thrill rides and things like that, I'm just like, well, what would you do with those? Let me think. I'm just trying to think of everything that I did while I was at Lagoon. Obviously, there's, like, the obvious, like, Ferris wheel and things like that.
What ride would be the Ferris wheel? Let's pick a ride and pick which Nintendo franchise would be good on that ride. I almost feel like a Ferris wheel would feel kind of like Mario-esque.
Yeah, that's something that came into my mind, too. I can't think of anything else.
The underwater theme on it?
A water... What?
Yes. As you're going on the Ferris wheel, kind of, I just feel like that would kind of make sense a little bit.
That song's perfect for that. I know the original Super Mario Bros. Water theme, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I know that one on the piano. It'd be perfect for a Ferris wheel. Actually pretty tough to learn. Samurai. Do you know what that one is at Lagoon?
Yeah, I've seen it. I don't ride
it's
that one.
It's got the arms. Yeah, me neither. It's got the arms, though, and it just, like, spins around like crazy. See, I'm not a thrill ride type of person, but what kind of Nintendo franchise? Yeah, I got nothing. There are, you know, that handful of really popular Nintendo franchises, and beyond that, I don't think Nintendo is gonna, like, I don't think there's gonna be a Fire Emblem ride, for example.
I don't know, they got pretty good sales for Awakening.
That is true.
You know,
I wouldn't say no to it, but...
This is a good time to help with IP care and series care, where it's like, hey, here's some stuff you may not have been known about, and then someone's like, oh, this ride was awesome. What's this based off of? Oh, this game? Oh, I can go buy this? Okay, let me check it out.
Not a bad thought. Fire Emblem's just beyond the kind of sphere of what I expect Nintendo to take from, though, is the only problem.
Pokemon will definitely be there. I think
that... Oh, man, why didn't I think of that?
I almost feel like they could do, like, a bizarre version of, like, a scavenger hunt. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. They could do, like, I don't know, I just feel like you could, like, go into this big arena and you have to, like, find, like, X amount of things, and it's like the Pokemon arena, catch them all or find them all, you know, something, like, simple like that.
Yeah, maybe a maze. I don't know.
A maze. That'd be a good one. And as you're in the maze, you have to try and collect, like, certain things that are in certain areas or something.
Oh, if they could get, like, working Pokeball things or mm-hmm. basically just some kind of way to make it so that you throw a Pokeball and you actually catch Pokemon that'd be awesome.
There could be, like, a smartphone app, and while you're using the smartphone app, you, like, hold up your phone to a QR code, and then you scan that code and it gives you a Pokemon.
Not as cool as a Pokeball, though.
Well, yeah, but we got to think cost-effective, and also you don't want people damaging different things. But On the
it's a shame. Pokemon will never be real.
On the note of smartphone usage, how are you going along with your smartphone?
What smartphone?
You're going to get one, right?
Don't pressure me.
I'm pressuring that all the pressure.
That can be another listener thing, like, should Holly get a smartphone?
Yes, Holly should get a smartphone, and it should definitely be an Android, because then you could very easily reach her on her Twitter account, and it would automatically update her of it, and she can interact with you even easier, just like you can do if you find me on Twitter, at OnlyMattDezen. Please hit me up, talk to me about the podcast, or whatever else crazy things enter into your mind. I'm always down to talk Nintendo, or anything else. I'm a huge wrestling fan, football fan, you know, Sony and Microsoft, they're okay. But I won't, you know, not talk to you. you can also reach us here on the podcast at podcast@nintendofever.com. Don't forget the all-important question, go-karts or bumper cars? You're in two lines, or you see two lines sitting in front of you. Both lines will take you the same amount of time to get through. Do you choose the go-karts or do you choose the bumper cars? You have to imagine both ones are, like, exciting things. It's literally you choose your preference. Do you want to do the bumper carts first or do you want to do the go-karts first? Please email us, let us know your opinions on those. And so far, what do you think about our rides ideas? And do you have your own rides ideas? So far, I think the Donkey Kong ride idea is going to be totally a winner.
Baby Park's better, though.
It's pretty good. It's very good. Where can they find you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter at Holly Felmuth, so that's pretty simple. Other than that, I mean, you can always email, of course, at podcast@nintendofever.com, like Matt said, just to kind of finish out, just as kind of a funny, silly comment to finish y'all out on the whole theme park idea. This has nothing to do with Nintendo. It does have to do with theme parks, though. I thought I'd mention that. I was having a bit, well, I was ranting. I wasn't arguing with anyone because there was no one who opposed me. But I, you know, back when Twilight was all popular, I was like, why do people like this so much? It's horrible. Is there ever going to be a theme park on Twilight? No. There is a theme park for Harry Potter, though, so go Harry Potter. I actually brought up the question with my brother Joe. If there were a Twilight theme park, what on earth would they put in that theme park? So he thought about it for probably 3 seconds and was like, Edward's piggyback ride? And I thought, that's actually not too bad of an idea. So we should have asked him what his ideas were for Nintendo theme park rides. But
You should have got some ideas from him, but please hit us up on Twitter, find us at our email, go to the NintendoFever.com website for news, reviews, previews, informational, and great articles as well. Wasn't there somebody new that just started on the website as well?
Yes. Here's a shout out for him. We just got a new writer on NintendoFever.com. His name's Lucas Termini. Honestly, I'm not sure if that's exactly how his name is pronounced, but he's a great writer. We've looked at his work, and we are really looking forward to reading more from him, and you should too. So go to the site, hit us up. Tell us what you thought of the Splatoon demo, and, you know, I'm hoping Nintendo will give us a little more time to play it. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but
I hope so, but it's only 2 weeks away, so it's going to be a tough call if they do or don't.
Like 2.5 weeks.
That's a long...
So there's plenty of time to do some more demoing.
It's a long slash short time is what that is. It's crazy, but it is. But,
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Holly, for joining me. This has been a great time. It's been too long. We can't take another break ever again. Ever.
Correct. I agree. So, ditto. It was great having you on the show as well. Matt, we really enjoyed this episode, you guys. So we hope you did too. Thanks for listening in, and we'll see you next week for episode 12. See you later.
See ya.